please state your full name and your AEC number for the record?
My name is Alberto Patron Torres, 7889G.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a consideration for general parole or absolute discharge today, sir. You became eligible for those on May 5th of 2014. So I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. If you look to your right, so down that way, the other end for me, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is the Honorable Michael Johnson. He is acting as our board chair at this moment. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. So I'll start with a summary, sir, just a summary of kind of background information. Are you 70 now, sir? Is that how old you are? 70 years?
In August 18, I'm 71.
71 in August, okay. Yes, oh, I see, yes. Okay, all right. You're serving 25 years to life for murder in the first degree. And that occurred on May 6th of 1989. Were you about 40 years old when that happened, sir?
Most of 41.
40, 41, somewhere in there.
Yes.
Okay, and you were convicted by a jury trial on December 21st, 1989, and sentenced on February 22nd, 1990. Did you ever appeal your conviction, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And it was upheld?
Yeah, I was made for appeal, but they denied
it. They denied it? Okay, so I didn't have any indication that you had ever appealed, but we don't always get all of the paperwork that goes with your case. It looks like you also had an aggravated assault conviction for 7.5 years, and that's expired, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, sir. All right. Mr. Padron has taken some programming. It looks like Thinking for Change, SMART Recovery, Substance Abuse Education, Design for Living, and you're also, are you an auto mechanic, sir? Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Have you taken any anger management courses or anything like that?
Yes. When I was in Cimarron, 2A.
Okay, so in Cimarron you took anger management? I just didn't see that in your record. But, you know, things don't always get recorded. Okay, so you've done some programming. And I just want to mention, sir, that your son is here today in the room with us. Okay?
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
And we'll give him an opportunity to speak when the time comes. Okay, so it looks like you, as far as a criminal history, in the 70s or maybe 1970, you had a few illegal entries into the country. In fact, you're a Mexican citizen, sir. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and there's a current detainer on you from ICE.
Yes.
So, it looks like in 1970 you were three times entered this country illegally. And then here in Arizona you had a DUI and some kind of a weapons violation. It's a little hard to tell from things that happened so long ago. You have 9 majors on your prison discipline record, which, you know, for the amount of time that you've done, that's on the light side. I mean, that's fewer than most people who have done the amount of time you have. It looks like your last discipline was in 2009, so a long time ago, disrupting count, and there were a couple in 2007 for disobeying orders. So your discipline history has been pretty good, sir.
Thank you.
You've been before this board before, it looks like 7 times, maybe 8 times. I'm not sure I counted correctly. And you have been denied, well, this will be your seventh hearing, and you've been denied for parole. Are you aware, do you owe any restitution, sir? I saw somewhere $10,000 to the Victim Compensation Fund, but I didn't know if you were aware of any other.
No, I don't send any money, because I work for the state, and I make 35 cents cents an hour.
Okay.
Is it possible to me to pay that sum?
Right, at that wage, definitely. Okay, and Mr. Padron, you gave us a parole plan, and it suggests that you'll live with your family, that your son who's here would help you.
Yes.
So we do have a plan. We have quite a few letters of support from your family, too. So that's a good thing.
No,
so, sir, we haven't really talked about the crime itself. And why don't you tell us what happened? I mean, this is an opportunity for the board to hear things from your side of things. How did things happen that day? And how did this all come to occur?
Well, the thing is what happened the first time with the two people attacked me and broke my jaw. And I was there for maybe 2 minutes in my truck. I was in my truck with my friends enjoying the festivals for May 5th. And then this guy came over me and attacked me. So they left, and I wasn't maybe 2-3 minutes there. And I gave it a ride to my one of my friends and I saw the truck. So when I saw the truck, I get going into the Whataburger and I have a gun with me.
And why did you have a gun? Why did you have one?
Because for 2 weeks. Then last night I was going to rifle club, the rifle club, and close to the altars, and then they tried to shoot it, so, you know.
Okay.
And there I leave my arms over there on the seat, my truck seat, and I didn't remember. So when I put the brakes on the 6th Avenue, the arms go outside. So I remember. And then I took the arm and tried to escort these guys. Now in my mind was try to kill that guy. So when I was there, I point my arm to him, but not to Alex, who was murdered.
Right.
Was the because Alex was asleep. So when I saw the rifle was in the driver's side, I gave the chance to him to duck on the seat.
Uh-huh.
But when I put the trigger, the bullet
ricocheted
in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
And touched the top of the ceiling and hit Alex. That's why the last time when I was the parole board date, I explained to them that that was for me. It is like an accident.
Okay. So, sir,
well,
go ahead.
Well, they try, don't look that way, you know, but And I feel, I'm real sorry for Alex Romney, because it's murder is murder, you know.
So why did they attack you? You said a couple of days before they had attacked you. Why did they attack you?
I don't know the reason.
It was just two guys, and they attacked you, just you.
Yeah, it's me. And I didn't even know them.
You didn't even know them?
No, man.
Let's see what this says. So were you outside with your girlfriend when this happened?
Was it his family? She was working with me because I have a body shop, paint cars.
Right. Okay.
I barely started, you know, but she was working with me for an hour, you know, something.
Right. Okay.
A little bit. So that day, she told me, "Patron, can you give me a ride to my house? Because his husband was in Douglas with his family. So I go over there and enjoy them and drink some beers. And anyway, when those guys come to me and attack me, I didn't know those guys. Really,
no. Okay. Well, you know, the official report says that you were outside sitting on your vehicle or on your truck with your girlfriend, and two men stopped because they had to urinate.
Yes.
And then there was an argument. Is that what happened?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's why they attacked you, because you argued with them?
Because I wait for Angie. Angie is my friend.
Oh.
I went for Angie because Angie go inside his chief mom and take his son. His son was by 8 months, I think. And I went for her to give some rest. So when those guys attacked me.
Okay. But yeah, then
she was inside his mom's house at that time.
But then
when when she comes out of the house, she saw me, those guys attacked me, you know, and she started screaming and saying, "Hey, what's wrong with you guys?" And they left by the Whataburger. Whataburger is maybe 30 or 40 feet to the airport from when I was. That's why.
Okay. But then this report suggests that later that night, because this occurred on May 5th, it was in the evening, and then about some hours later, at 2 o'clock in the morning,
When they attacked me, that was about 1:30 around. That passed maybe 3 or 4 minutes from that, when I found those guys. But I don't see them, because my way, the way where I supposed to take is there to my house, is where I saw the truck. Where I never followed them.
Okay. This does suggest that you followed them, and that you had thrown the gun away. So why did you throw the gun away?
So, I don't know. Maybe I was nervous or whatever, you know.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions for you, sir. Anyone have a question for Mr. Padron? Mr. Neal has a question for you, sir.
Sir,
thank you, ma'am.
Originally, you told the police, and even after the trial, you told the pre-sentence officer that you didn't do it. So do you still say you didn't shoot that guy?
It's what I said.
Okay, I didn't quite understand. Did you say you did or didn't shoot him?
Well, I did. They, the court found me guilty. I never said nothing. Because they used the Angie's as witnesses and Anthony, who was with Alex. But I never said that.
Oh, okay. Well,
the only thing I know what's happened, that was because I wrote the transcription later, but maybe a year. That's what I know what's happened with me. But I didn't know. I was in drugs and I was drunk. I remember that time. I was shocked by what I made. I lost my mind for some time. And I can explain that.
Okay, so you don't deny that you shot him, you just don't remember doing it?
Exactly.
Okay.
All of this information that I give to her and then this papers is for the translation for the police reports. I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know what happened that time.
Okay, thank you.
So, any other questions? Mr. Quinones has a question too, please, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Barbon?
Yes, sir.
Am I correct that should this board release you, that you want to return to Mexico?
Yes.
And
I want to.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, the reason I go to Mexico is because I don't see my mom, my real mom, and my dad for maybe more than 45 years or more. So, and I have a lot of family out there. I have maybe 40, another 40 people there waiting for me to see me because I never be with them. So, all my family want to see me for the last time, my mom and my dad. So is that my only chance that I can go and visit them and spend some time with them?
Well,
so I know that I have a family, my son, and other my other cousin over here. But I was going with them because when I was little, my dad and my mom was divorced, so I went with my aunt over in Mexico, so I have a more family over there and my son, and other daughters over there.
Okay,
in the state.
Mr. Pablo, hold on. I think we've asked you this before, but it's an important question. What is your plan for remaining in the United States if this board granted you parole or home arrest, because we cannot simply release you back to Mexico. You have to go through parole or typically, we consider home arrest as a gradual form of transition, which begins the process. But you also have an ICE detainer, or an immigration detainer, and if I'm not mistaken, you're not eligible for deportation because you have been convicted of a capital crime, in this case murder. So what is your plan for dealing with the United States until you get through arrest, parole, dealing with immigration? Have you spoken with anybody from immigration or anything like that?
Yeah, I spoke with Officer Lopez because I sent a letter to him. It was 2 years ago. I think it's 3 years ago. And then I asking him, he called me on the telephone and asked me, Mr. Padron, what do you want to do? Or what do you want to know about the deportation? He said, the only thing I want to know is if something changed by my case or my deportation. He said, no, Now, the only thing you can do is, if your parole says, send me a letter, and I went and pick it up to you and send it to Mexico, is what he said.
Send you to Mexico?
I signed my deportation in 1996.
Okay.
And then I think I know.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Quinones, just for the record, we're not hearing Mr. Padron for home arrest today. Or absolute disorder.
I'm sorry.
But because of the ice detainer, he's not eligible.
So to be clear on that, it's just for parole.
Right, that's all we're considering today. Mr. Neal,
Have you had a deportation hearing and had a deportation order issued against you?
No.
Okay, so then with that, you don't have an execution order either, correct? You have to go through all that if you were to vote to give him parole?
Well, I think so, I don't know.
Okay.
I
know some personal experience with an inmate that was being deported, they had a deportation hearing while they were incarcerated, and an order was issued, and they also issued an execution order, which is what actually makes it happen. And that was waiting, so that when they were released, they were immediately sent back to Europe where they came from. So, but you haven't had a deportation hearing in front of the judge?
Yes, with the judge.
Okay, so
the judge, he told me. Es que I asking the judge, if I sign the paper, you send me to Mexico right now? He say, no. It doesn't work like that. You have to wait the state grant you parole board. And then if the state grant you parole board, you're able to go to Mexico right now.
Correct. I understand that, but the only way you would be allowed to go back to Mexico if you've been paroled, then ICE can't send you back there until the court says they have to. And they have two hearings. One is to get the deportation order, and the other one is the order to actually send you back. That's why we have so many million people running around this country that have deportation orders, but they haven't had an execution order, so nobody can send them back to their country. So that's why I asked you that question. The personal experience of an inmate, there was a deportation hearing while they were incarcerated, which said you have to be sent back to your country of origin. And then they had a separate hearing and said, yes, it's an order of execution, which as soon as they were released from prison, ICE took them and sent them back to Europe where they came from. So that's why I'm asking if you've had those two hearings and have their orders, but whether that's a process you would have to go through, because, I mean, ICE can take you from the prison when you're released and put you in their detention facility and go through that process. My concern is that if you go to the first hearing, you could be released back into society with no supervision.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson has a question for you.
Sir, do you have a family here in Arizona or Tucson?
Is it all what?
Do you have family here in Arizona or Tucson?
Yes, my son.
Yes.
Upper, Alberto, and my daughter living in Douglas.
Okay. So, sir, let me ask you a question. So you came to the United States illegally, you were deported back to Mexico once, and then you came back again. Can you tell me, if you were deported back to Mexico, why you wouldn't come back to the United States?
Before?
Now.
Or now?
Yes, sir.
No, not. If you want to make a house in Puerto Peñasco, Sonora, and Lucas is close to see my my sons and my grandsons over here. So I can visit them, and I can visit my family in San Luis Potosí. So it's not different for me. But I don't want to return to the United States. You have to believe me.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mr. Padron, I'm going to ask your son if you'd like to speak at this point. Would you like to?
Come on.
Okay. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
If you would just state your name first. Is the green light on?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And state your name.
Roberto Padron.
Thank you. And what would you like to tell the board today?
I had a question. I guess the parole board would, if they would grant him parole, he would have to stay here in the U.S. Or would they?
Yeah, we don't have the authority to do that. Now, I think that's what Mr. Neal is getting at. I don't know if you know any more about his status, whether, because evidently you have to have a deportation hearing, which he may or may not have had, and a separate execution order, which just means take...
Exactly.
And that you don't know the status.
But I'm not quite sure exactly, so, but what in whatever case that happens, we're here. I mean, I have, if that's what is granted, we can figure something out. I have a vehicle, I have extra room in the house, and
so he could live with you.
He could live with me till wherever the parole or whenever he's granted clemency, or and then he could head to Mexico or whatever is decided. He has support here and in Mexico.
He has both licenses, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it sounds like he has job skills as a mechanic.
Yeah.
Did he have his own business?
Body shop.
Right.
He fixed cars.
Okay.
From Guatemala. Yeah.
Okay, sir. And anything else you'd like to share with the board?
Just I mean, it would be great if at least for the rest of his life, we can have him close to each other, and at least he hasn't seen my son, and it would be nice for a little bit of time, because he found out, I'm not sure if he has some medical issues that might affect him, and it would be nice just for a little bit of time.
And his parents are alive? Your grandparents are still alive in Mexico?
That I know. I haven't even met them either.
Right.
I would like to someday.
And where's the town? Where in?
San Luis Potosí.
San Luis, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least
okay. See
them, you know.
Okay, any questions from Mr. Padron?
I just wanted to that is, if this board voted to grant parole, could you provide an address?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for appearing today. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Padron, back to you. We're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance to make a final statement. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like the board to consider today?
Well, I wish you consider all my time and good behavior in the prison. But I think a good future over there in Mexico is I want to go to school and take my education about the solar panels and make money for my sons and to do something for them. And also I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago, and they take me some samples from my bladder, and the doctor said, yeah, I have some pre-cancer in my system. So I think I have some short time in this life. And I want to ask them to you or the North Embassy to grant my parole if you guys can. If you don't, please, I live in my life and in dress and in God's name. So that's the only thing I can be honest with you. You guys, but that's the only thing I ask. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Padron. Mr. Padron, the board will go into discussion. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we just ask that you just remain on the phone there, listen to the discussion. We haven't discussed your case. We just discuss in this room, that's all. So we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
Okay,
thank you. The board's now in discussion. I remember this case from last year, and I do believe, Mr. Padron, that it was, that the shooting itself was an accident, that the bullet ricocheted off the car and, you know, hit the person. I don't know what happened at the time. I believe there was alcohol and probably drugs involved, as so frequently happens, and there was definite anger issues, but it looks like Mr. Padron has taken a lot of programming around alcohol and drugs, which is somewhat difficult for a Mexican national since the department doesn't willingly provide that. So he has pursued that. And I also asked him about anger management, and he says he took it. There's no evidence, but we can't prove that he didn't either. So I think he's tried to address that. He certainly has family support here. We don't know about, there's one part of the parole plan that has a very detailed place that he would live in the town that he mentioned, and could work as a mechanic, and, you know, he wanted to open another shop. You know, on the other side of that is we have that he's entered this country illegally at least 3 times and committed crime while he was here, but not a lot of crimes. You know, the DUI and a weapons violation, which of course were the same two issues that were involved in the incident offense. Just, you know, given his age, given the fact that he does have a fairly good parole plan, I'm on the fence. I don't like the doubt about this immigration status, but one thing the board could do is to parole him and see how that shakes out. I mean, that would have to be resolved. But that's where I'll just start the discussion. What do other board members feel?
Is there else? Thank you. I agree with you. At the risk of just not articulating this, I think there are going to be cases in which we need to see how the immigration process shakes out. Right. But I have to say, I'd be considering parole otherwise, and the state of Arizona, that's not our jurisdiction, it's ultimately not our concern, and I believe that there would be a process that he has to go through ICE to make that transition legal, and I'm of the mindset that we could safely facilitate that, I think. I mean, as far as our part in the process.
Well, I like what you just said, the fact that even if there weren't the ICE issue, that you would be looking, I mean, I think I heard you say that.
Yes.
You'd be looking favorably toward parole even without the ICE issue.
Yes.
And I agree, I would too. So I don't know what other board, Johnson?
I kind of agree. I'm just, this ICE issue, and I tell you where I'm at on it is that I do think I would be willing to give Mr. Patron parole. I'm just concerned about the ICE issue. And I'm thinking, I would be willing to try to get a legal opinion from my attorneys to see where we can, because he's marked to have regular parole or home arrest. But if he goes on,
no, we don't have
what I'm saying, I do understand that he's not eligible, but I'm saying that, you know, the form has it marked for regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge.
No, that's not your problem. If you go down,
that's
the
not
time allotted specifically.
So then my concern would be giving him an absolute discharge.
Okay.
And he goes and comes back, and there's really nothing we can do. But I'd like to get a legal opinion, because if he gets home arrest, then it's not even my understanding that you're still pretty much, you know, in custody. You just assigned to home, which is different than regular parole. So that if he gets home arrest, and then he does have the parole officer, he does have all the things that he actually has to have. So does that, with the deportation, you know, deportation would still be on the line, depending on if he's on home arrest, he's still in custody. He's still, like, in prison,
right.
Just at home.
But he's not eligible for home arrest as a Mexican national or a foreign citizen. He's not eligible for home arrest. But the time on sheet for his discharge, ready for or absolute discharge. And a lot of other people fill out these forms that we get in front of us. But the issue that I have is that we're talking about a fee for somebody to beat somebody up, we're talking about somebody who is murdered. So our responsibility to the citizens of Arizona is to, we have to be relatively certain that we're not going to be putting an end to this. In this type of situation, my understanding is that the ICE would, no matter what kind of release it gets, ICE would latch on to it if they want to. If they don't pick him up from prison and he's put out the door, he's already stated he wants to go to Mexico. So how do we supervise this person when he gets out?
Right.
And even if we, even if they set regular parole and he goes back to Mexico, he's not going to have supervision. If you give him, and I don't feel that the absolute discharge is at all appropriate in this case, so we can give him a parole. So if we say he's paroled, and ICE lets him here, yeah, he would have supervision, but for how long would he stay? And because we can't give him home arrest, we don't have any indication when he decides to go back to Mexico. And there's no, and so we're, you know, it's I guess our responsibility is to the citizens of Mexico, but if he goes back to Mexico, he's already come back three times illegally, getting false names, done all that stuff, and we have no assurance that's not going to happen again. So I am absolutely not in favor of any type of release. I do agree with maybe presenting this to our legal counsel to get, see if we can find out a little more information to make maybe a little bit more informed decision how to do it. But I don't think that we should take a chance with people's safety outside of the prison system while we find that out. You know, it'd be something to find out before we make any decision to release them.
So you would be suggesting maybe continue the hearing?
And no, I'd be saying deny, and then when we come between now and his next eligibility, we see if we can find out something, because it may take a year to find out anything, because our legal counsel may not have the answers and may have to go directly to ICE, and they're so swamped right now. It may take a long time to get a legal opinion. But that's the other issue. If ICE takes him, so we give him whatever calls, and ICE takes him, they take him in custody, they can't deport him until they get a judge's order of deportation and a follow-up order of execution. Currently, people that are being put in front of judges for illegal entry
are given a court date, or they're told we're going to hold you. And they're 2 years behind, so the court dates are issuing people are 2 years down the road, and they're left free in society.
Oh, they just let them out?
Yes, they don't detain them. That's one of the big issues about border situation right now, is that our system is becoming so inundated that they can't handle it, and they're over 2 years. So if an immigrant goes in front of an immigration judge, and they don't act right then and there, they normally don't, they gain a court date.
Right.
And it's at least 2 years in the future, and they let them off the boat. And there's no way to track them or anything else. So, you know, and most of those people, they don't know if they're MS-13 or murderers or anything else. So, you know, I don't know how that would happen with this person, but there is two separate deals. And he could be incarcerated at the INS facility down in Florence for a period of time while all that's figured out. I don't know. And because I have those many questions about it and the type of offense it is, I am not of the mind to give him any kind of release. Then continuing the hearing may be something that has to be continued, because it takes those kind of legal opinions and advice can take a long time because of how badly our system is inundated. We have no guarantee when somebody that is born and raised in the United States isn't going to flee the country when we put them out on the news, but they don't have the support system in another, you know, in another country. They weren't born in another country. They haven't illegally entered this country. They were, you know, illegally here when they were committing their crime and everything. So that's one reason we ask about support. We look at that so close, and we'll have people who are going to be out on the street and nobody to keep them mentally supported so they can successfully be on supervision.
Mr. Grignalis, you have a comment?
Thank you, Ms. Grignalis. I think that Mr. Neal did touch upon some issues late in his deliberation. Fundamentally, I'm in a position that we need to understand exactly what would happen in this case. But I would still say I would be considering parole otherwise, because he touched on it at the end. Anyone who's released or was parole could have scot.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's that much different at the end of the day, whether he has gone to Mexico or not, because he's still a fugitive, and we slice it. And the issue is, would he continue to be a threat one way or the other? But I would like to know ultimately what ICE's process is in this murky time between being granted parole and a detention here. Not that that's our role, not at the state, but it's murky.
It's a factor to consider, for sure.
Yes. Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes, sir.
I'll add, after listening to him, if we didn't have this issue about the detainer and, you know, if he was a citizen of this country, and if I look just at his case as a, you know, without all that attack, I could be in favor of like Mr. Johnson on home arrest, but we can't do that in this case. And because of that, that's why I'm not in favor of any type of release options from our side.
Mr. Johnson?
I think maybe if we just, if he didn't have the detainer, I would be supportive of home arrest,
right.
Which we would do with any other person who came before us in this particular situation.
Yeah.
We would be willing to look at them having home arrest. But I'm just not sure that we, you know, home arrest, and my understanding of home arrest is that their home arrest is not like parole, that you're still in custody, you're still an inmate. So if you get home arrest, you're still an inmate, you're still in custody. But, you know, I don't know if the deportation orders supersede that, what happens with that. And I think I would like to get that cleared up before, so that we'd have some idea or understanding. But it is my understanding that home arrest, if he's not eligible for, but home arrest is, to everyone, it's like we tell them that, you know, you still, you know, in custody, but you're on home arrest, and if they violated, then they go in the same process as if they had, you know, left prison. You know, the procedures are still the same, but I would like to get some legal opinion to get a better understanding of what the absolute discharge, the regular parole, because if we grant him regular parole, there's no supervision if he's deported back.
Right.
And so, and then if we grant him an absolute discharge, and then there's just no...
No supervision.
No supervision. And so, I don't know if I would be willing to deny it, but, you know, not ask for a one-year set-off and see if we can get some legal advice on this in the meantime. So we have, so we can be clear on just what, you know, authority this board may have to actually do it, because of the deportation orders and stuff that we have there. I'm just not clear on that.
I would also add that we don't know exactly what would happen between now and the normal options of the parole or absolute discharge. But I don't think it would happen very quickly, and I think it's within reason to consider the 6 month waiting period and see if we get some firm terms.
Yeah.
Legal guidance on the deportation issue.
I mean, I would be in favor of 1 to 6 months or something. I mean, it may not be enough time, but
yeah.
It's better than continuing, because we have no idea when the next hearing would be if that continued.
Right.
It could be 3 weeks, it could be 6 months.
Okay. All right. I'm going to make a motion then. And my motion will be that we deny general 412A and absolute discharge. However, we're doing that with the understanding that we'll try to find in the meantime a little more information about this particular, because of the complications of this, and that we come back in 6 months, you know, not ask for the 1 year set off. So
we got at least one more call today that's got the same issue.
Oh, did we? Okay. So see, it's going to be the same. So that's my reason for doing that is to be able to look into it and figure out, and I'm going to say do not request the set off. So we want to see him back in 6 months. Okay. Yes, sir.
I think we want a little bit more than just some information. I want some legal information as to
what
authority this board may have when it comes to the home arrest. The home arrest still leave him in a status, so
right.
I would like to get some legal advice on that.
Okay, but so for today, my motion is that we deny, and that's
yes,
why.
Yes.
So that's my motion.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Neal. Agreed, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones, and release type denied is the general parole and the absolute discharge. Okay, and the reasons for denial: serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury. But I'm absolutely not checking. Mr. Pendron's institutional behavior is excellent. His programming is excellent, considering, you know, that there's not a lot offered to Mexican nationals, and he's taken quite a bit. He seems to be doing what he's supposed to do. He has a great support system in the community, both here and in Mexico. The only issue is this issue with the detainer, figuring out how to handle that. So is there any other reasons that board members would indicate? Okay, thank you. Mr. Padron?
Yes, ma'am.
We were talking fast, and I'm sorry. I hope you understood some of that. We're concerned. This board doesn't have any authority with respect to detainers and ICE. And we have very little knowledge about detainers and ICE. And we also know in this country right now, all of that, those processes are backed up for years. So what we'd like to do, the board is voting to deny parole today, but because of the date of your crime, ordinarily we could set your next hearing for a year from now, but what we've done is set it for 6 months from now. So in 6 months, you'll be eligible to come back. And what we'll do in the meantime is we'll ask our attorneys, and I'll say this to your son too, any research you can do to figure out what would happen. I mean, we just don't know. Our issue is that when someone has committed a murder, that person needs to be under some kind of supervision, a parole officer. And if ICE were to take him back to Mexico, then we lose that. And if he were to come back here, which he says he won't, but he's done it 3 times in the past, and he has you guys here, then he would have no supervision. And our job is to protect the citizens of Arizona. So that's where we're kind of stuck with this. But I think this is a good solution, is to allow that 6 months to try to, we'll ask our attorney, the board's attorney, to see what we can do. And what's legal. We don't know for sure why specifically home arrest is not an option, because in home arrest, he would wear an ankle monitor that has GPS, and we could track, I mean, you can track when he goes across the street, you know, it was very specific. And in home arrest, you're essentially still an inmate, you just live at your house. So, you have a question?
So why wasn't that an option?
We don't know, but what we do know from experience is when someone has a detainer, home arrest is not an option.
Okay.
So it may be a corrections thing, it may be in the law, and that's what we have to check and see why is that not an option. So, but as far as Mr. Pendron's behavior and his keep doing what you're doing, sir, because you're going along fine. Keep working and all that. So, do you have any other questions, Mr. Pendron?
No, ma'am.
Okay, sir.
I'm good.
So we'll plan to see you in about 6 months, the next time the department certifies you, and hopefully we may have some answers. And any research you're able to do as well. Your CO3 may. This is kind of a difficult situation. Your CO3 may be able to help you. And same thing with you, sir, if you can find anything out, that'd help. So, all right, thank you so much, sir. Your hearing is concluded, and thank you for participating today. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Uh-huh. Thank you all.